Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for a series, Keith?
Yeah, I'm ready for a series. I'm ready.
You weren't nervous.
I really wasn't.
I was nervous.
My panic meter never went above 50.
It's true.
It was at 49 after they went down 0-2.
You were pinned at a 49.
Yeah. Now it's lower.
But you didn't go above it.
Nope.
I never went away from picking the Celtics, but I called it a coin toss.
Yeah.
I said it's a coin toss, and if you're forcing me to pick, I'll pick the Celtics, but I am panicked.
Yeah. Still?
No, not so much.
Yeah, less so. I mean, it's still 2-1, but I was thinking about this. Would you rather Monday, real quick for you, would you rather be the team that is up 2-1 or the team down 2-1, but you have led every game by over 20 points?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. They could have won all three games by blowout.
Yeah.
And they're going to kind of have to win games, I think, by blowout, because I don't think they can win close ones.
You might be right.
Which is a whole other thing to get into. But to answer your question, based on how these three games have gone, I'd rather be the Celtics. They should be up 3-0.
Yeah, the one team going into the series that we thought was better is better. Now, the results aren't there. So if you wanted, scoreboard says 2-1, okay. But who has been better? And nothing really has changed in the first three games that would make me think the rest of the series, the Knicks are suddenly better or anything like that. So, yeah, the Celtics did. So, game three played out, honestly, like I thought game two was going to play out. I thought they were going to shoot lights out. I thought they were going to run them off the court.
I thought that was a lock.
So, that was surprising, yeah. Right? I mean, so you lose one. Okay, not every team sweeps the teams that they're supposed to sweep and things like that. Like, whatever. That's why you have a seven-game series. But for game two, to play out so similar to game one was legitimately surprising. But then everything kind of righted itself with the game three performance.
Yeah, so, you know, when their shot's falling and when they're blowing teams out and rolling,
yeah,
they can win some games. We'll see if they can win a close one against New York. We'll see if they can pull out the series or the Celtics back. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. It's not all we're talking here on the show today, but it is where we're starting. We'll get into the Red Sox. Sean Henry had to go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
To talk down Rafi Devers, among other people.
As hot as a pistol right now.
So he is. Yeah. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. I will mix in some thoughts on the Miss Maine competition this weekend.
Yes.
Bill Belichick there in attendance.
Sure was.
Eyeballing some of the other Miss Massachusetts, among others.
Well. All right.
Which we'll get to. Keith has a summer movie preview, all the blockbusters.
That's right.
At 11:45, and a special appearance by Terp.
Pure
Hoops High Noon from
Live
New York.
From New York, it's Justin Turpin.
Live from New York, it's Pure Hoops.
Yes. Pure Hoops.
So I'm pumped. We'll be doing that at High Noon with Turp. Again, you can jump in line, 617-779-7937. That is your phone and text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. You can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. You tell me if this is even a fair question, Keith. Maybe they never went away.
Okay.
Are the Celtics back?
Yeah, I don't think they ever really went away. I think they had a couple of horrible fourth quarters, and it was like, all right, you guys need to figure this out. But they were still the team that was expected to win the series. And we talked about some of the, even like the live betting, some of the odd shifts. Now, they went from, you know, minus 800 to minus 100, right? One book had them as a dog for like a second. Everybody else still had them as the favorite, despite the fact that the numbers are so overwhelming for teams that are up 2-0 to win a series. Even the books were like, no, we can't. We can't do that with the Celtics. So it was a poor start, to be sure. The shooting was atrocious pretty much across the board. But no, they weren't dead. They weren't going to go out this year. Now, this way, anyway. Now, do they win the title? We shall see. But I don't see them losing a second round to the New York Knicks. Right, the Knicks have some good players, but I don't know. If they go down, it's going to be to somebody that's a little bit better than New York is.
It's not going to be the Cavs, based on the way that series is going.
It might not be the Eastern Conference, which is also kind of what we said all along. Like, I like Cleveland all year. Now, they've been just smoked by injuries, and now they're getting smoked by the Pacers, as it turns out. And who knows who's even going to come out of the West? As another aside, You know, like that. Those series are all up for grabs.
OKC is even now. Curry's still out for Golden State. They've lost two in a row. So, look, I mean, if the Celtics get healthy teams, I'm not going to complain about their road like I did last year, which is they got every team without their best player until they got a 5 seed in the finals a year ago. So to me, that was egregious. I mean, I have no complaints about the Knicks in round two. They're healthy.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm asking for.
It was the 3 seed Knicks, although they are kind of a, like, fraud-ish team. You know, they didn't beat anybody good in the regular season, including the Celtics, right? They got swept by the Celtics. They got swept by the Cavs. So they were the 3 seed. They were the classic beat everybody worse than you. The Pistons series was sort of a head-scratcher because they got outplayed by the Pistons. And then at the end of the games, the Pistons would choke it away, and the Knicks, to their credit, were able to take advantage and win the series. So the fact that they won the first two games, I think, just surprised everybody that was watching these two teams play. Like, well, this is not what we expected. Maybe you thought the Knicks might give them a series, but you didn't think they were going to take the first two games in Boston by any means.
So what changed in Game 3, if you were going to boil it down? What was the difference between dropping two games at home, blowing big leads in those games, and then winning Game 3 at the Garden?
I mean, the super simple answer, it's the obvious answer. They made all their threes. They just couldn't miss. Tatum couldn't miss early on. The team right away, they ended up shooting 50%. And over course of, or you know, throughout the game, it was better.
It was only 43s, you know, so like it wasn't an outlandish
but they
number.
They made 20.
No. They made a ton. They made a high percentage, but it wasn't like they're back to chucking up 60 a game.
No, which I like.
Me
I think
too.
This was good. Like I like the ratio being take more twos than threes, but we know they're still going to take a lot of threes. They just made such an alarming rate. I mean, they made twice as many, right? When you look at the first two games of the series, they made 25, but they took 100. So 25% is not going to get it done. And 50% is the extreme, right? Like 50% is also not something you can rely on. But if they shoot whatever their average was, 33, 34%, like they're going to beat the Knicks. Now, other teams, whatever, like that, maybe they need to do a little bit better than that. But it was just the shot was falling and it never went away. And they built this big lead and, you know, Peyton Pritchard had an awesome game. And that was really what stood out to me. Like, it's fun watching them play where they're just bombs away, everything's going in. And then, but when they're missing shots, it just piles up on them. And then they feel like each guy on the team feels like, oh, well, this shot will get us out of this funk. This shot will get us out of the funk. And then it just gets worse and worse.
What about Tatum specifically?
I mean, I thought he was pretty good. His threes were falling. What did he hit, his first three or whatever
it was? He was 4 for 4 to start, yeah.
And I think that goes a long way, you know, with his overall confidence. He didn't put up like a million points or anything like that, but he had a good all-around game hitting some of his threes. And, I thought he was strong. I mean, not his best playoff performance we've ever seen, but I thought he was good.
I think this is why his efficiency is important. I know people talk about, well, he does more than just score. Your best player has to score. Your best player, I mean, ideally would be efficient. He ended 8 of 20. From the floor, which
it
I guess
felt better than that.
It felt way better, and he started out making all his threes. When you have to guard Tatum, and you're always going to have to cover him, so that probably sounds stupid, but when he's rolling and you really have to pay a lot of attention and divert a lot of resources to Tatum, that frees up everybody else. Like I don't think it's a coincidence that they shot well from three in a game where Tatum shot well early and had to be accounted for, and you had to divert resources to, and I don't think it's a coincidence that's where the Celtics shot well. So I do think a lot of it revolves around him. And I'll give him credit for showing up in Game 3. He did not in the first two. So this is what you need. You need Tatum not to go score 40, but he needs to come out and set the tone, and the defense needs to account for him and pay attention to him. That frees up other guys. If he's not going, other guys aren't going to get their looks. Other guys aren't going to be open. The Celtics offense isn't going to go. And so to me, that was a big difference in this game. I also thought Tatum was interesting after the game.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He was asked about the criticism he dealt with coming out of the first two games of the series, and now after a win, it's a little easy to have some perspective on it. Here's what Tatum had to say after the Game 3 victory.
I live a great life. I ain't gonna lie. It's a lot of I make a lot of money. I take care of my family. I've been able to experience a lot of things. But you also have to accept what comes with that, right? I get a lot of praise. I get a lot of credit. I get a lot of accolades. But, you know, I'm not perfect. There's times where, you know, I've needed to play better. I needed to do more. And, you know, that's what comes with being, you know, that guy. So just understanding that. And it's not, you know, that people don't just criticize me. There's a lot of people that came before me that they criticize. And it's going to be people that, you know, come after me that they criticize. And, you know, for me, it's a sense of joy that I play with, right? You know, coming into a game, you know, with an angry face and mad at the world, that's not who I am. That's not when I play my best. So I always say you got to be the same person when things are going great and when things aren't going great. You know, you can't switch up. That's the, you know, it's the character of a good man.
Okay, so being consistent, I don't know if that's the character of a good man, but I mostly like that answer from Tatum. He understands who he is. He understands that he can't come in barking at everybody, mad at the world. That's not his personality. That would be out of character. So he stays in that same frame of mind, which I guess matters. The line I like in there is he's like, well, guys got criticized before me. Guys will get criticized after me. I'm not the only one. Like, people who think this criticism of Tatum is personal are insane. They don't listen to how other stars are talked about. I feel like he falls into that from time to time. You know, he and a lot of the Celtics feel real babyish about Perk and how he's come after them over the last year plus. Like, it's not a personal thing. It's just this is how we talk about superstars in the NBA. You're held to a higher standard. And he's saying the right thing there. I wonder if he truly gets that. I've questioned it before, but I'll give him that. Like, I thought that was a good answer from Tatum.
Oh, that was a great answer. I thought that was really impressive because we've talked about this guy throughout his entire career and the high expectations. There was talk earlier in the year, like, does he get enough credit and all this other stuff? And how about him being like, I get a lot of credit. I get a lot of accolades. And it's with that stuff that I think you're going to get the criticism. Like, nobody's going to sit here after they lose two games to the Knicks and be like, that Luke Kornet didn't show up.
Right.
What's his problem?
Right.
Like, the best players, it is such an NBA thing, too, because the best player has so much impact on whether the team wins the whole thing or not. Right? Like, there's less of a, man, Mike Trout didn't win a World Series than there is, how come, you know, LeBron hasn't won more or how come Tatum hasn't won more? It's so much more associated with these guys. And I thought that was like a very mature answer. And like, look at that. He's like, hey, I got a pretty good life. So if I got to deal with a few people wondering why I didn't have a good fourth quarter, like, I can deal with that.
Well, this is why I never get people who are like, oh, how can you criticize Tatum? How can you do this? How can you do that?
He's a great player.
He makes so much money.
Well, there's also that.
He gets all the praise in the world.
Yeah.
And when he plays like crap, we should be allowed to say it. And if we're a little mean from time to time, I think he can handle it. So he's now said that. I like that answer from Tatum.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to hold him to that. Because he didn't seem to feel that way after they won the title last year when he was asking, what are they going to say now and all this? But maybe he gets it now more so than he did. Or at minimum, at least he's saying the right thing and knows what to say in that spot. So I'll give him that. Is Tatum back to where we can trust him? Because I haven't loved how he's played all postseason. He came out poor against Orlando, got hurt in game one, missed game two. They won without him. He scored a lot of points the final three games of the Orlando series. I thought he was great. In game five, I didn't really think he was that great in game three or four against Orlando. He was terrible the first two games against New York. Are we back to where we can trust Jason Tatum?
So I don't know if it's one of those things where you know exactly what you're going to get out of him every single game. But and not to avoid the question, but if you look at the top players that are still playing in the league right now, you know, it'd be easy to be like, man, I don't know, like at the end of the game, like maybe Tatum's not the guy or whatever. But right now, I don't know how many guys you'd want to swap him out with. Like, for the final minute, sure, maybe like Donovan Mitchell or somebody like that. But Donovan Mitchell's down 3-1. Or you'd say, like, oh, Gilgeous Alexander's like the MVP of the league. He shot poorly in this series, and he's tied 2-2 with the Nuggets right now. So nobody has really stood out as, like, the guy that is significantly better. I think there's still going to be questions when it comes to Tatum. And let's see what happens if there's another close game this series. Right, like we all knew they could win the blowout. They won three blowouts in the regular season against the Knicks. Credit to Tatum, the one close regular season game they had,
he hit a monster shot.
Forced
overtime, yep.
So, like I trust him, but you know, I'm not going to bet my house that he's going to have a monster fourth quarter in a close game.
Yeah, they might not need it, by the way. Yeah. I mean, I think when Tatum's going again, you have to pay extra attention to him. Other guys are open. I don't think it's a coincidence the Celtics shot so well in game three. So I think it's a lot easier when Tatum's going, but they proved a year ago they can win the whole thing without Tatum going, firing on all cylinders and playing super efficient. And you make a fair point about SGA and even Jokic and some of these other guys
Edwards
is a great one. Like, none of them are super efficient in this postseason. I'd say Tatum has a lot more help than all those guys, but that's fair. Like, none of those guys have been super efficient in the postseason either. I'm not to the point where I trust Tatum. I like that answer. I like how he played. I can't imagine he's as bad as the first two games of the series, but I don't think because of one game that's in the rearview mirror. He had a great game five against Orlando and came out and stunk it up for two games against the Knicks. So I'm not to the point where I fully trust we're getting regular season 25-30 a night Jason Tatum.
There's really no momentum, it feels like, game to game in the playoffs, you know, because you're right. You can have a game where you shoot really, really poorly, and then the next night you can't miss. Doesn't mean the next night you're going to have another one of those ones, right? And so same thing applies here with Tatum and really the team when it comes to their fourth quarters. If they win this series, I think they do win this series. They need three more wins. Can they get three more blowout wins? Probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, the more likely thing maybe is two blowouts and then one close one where they kind of, you know, gut it out and win that way. Maybe that ends up what's happening. But, I mean, New York has been blown out for a time in all three of these games, right? It was just they came back in two of them. But it feels like the safest bet is tonight at some point the Celtics will be up by 20.
I would.
That's the safest bet. Now, whether they hang on to it or not, or they go on to win by 30 or whatever, but they're going to be up by 20 because that's something they've done just about every time they've played the Knicks this year.
I would say that's a relatively safe bet for tonight. So is the series over? Celtics win a game? Are they back? Do you trust Jason Tatum? We'll get to some thoughts about the Celtics in close games coming up with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Rafael Devers. John Henry had to go talk him down in Kansas City. We'll get to Miss Maine coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Keith with the summer blockbuster preview. And, of course, Pure Hoops with Terp on a Monday.
Wow.
Live from New York. So we'll get to that coming up again with all your phone calls at 617-779-7937. A couple of good texts here. Tatum did play pretty well when he was angry against the Magic. Fair point. That was Tatum out of character. He said you can't show up and be angry some days. Got to be consistent.
He's still not like a snarly guy.
But that was snarly for him.
Yeah, it's Tatum snarly.
Fair point. Text line also calls him insufferable. I like that answer.
I disagree with that one.
So you can jump in on all that. Billy Lanny with the latest in trending. And then we'll get to the Celtics. Keith said likely they'll be up by at least 20 in this game tonight. Can they win a close one? If that's what they need against New York. That's right after trending with Billy Lanny.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.